As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
7:15, beautiful Easter weekend. Good Friday is going to be nice today. A lot of people having crawfish boils. Highs of 84, 85 maybe. It's a little bit warm, but not too bad overall. Not compared to summertime, at least. The humidity is not as bad as it is then. Could be more humid as the weekend proceeds, though. Tomorrow, highs of 83 with some clouds moving in. Pretty much same on Sunday, but dry. So get out and enjoy it. If there's one thing I learned in the 4 semesters it took me to get through statistics at UNO, it was type 1 and type 2 errors. Type 1 is when you reject the null hypothesis when it's actually true. So in other words, something's broken and you don't fix it. A type 2 error is when something's broken and you do. I'm mixing it all up. Sydney Torres joins us right now, who's smarter than I'll ever. You understand what I'm saying, Sydney?
I got you, Tommy. I got you. Good morning.
Good morning. Sydney Torres is the rock star. Let's say a couple of things about Sydney Torres. I was working tonight a long time ago, and I was just talking to him about something, and he's hanging out with Lenny Kravitz. Just happened to be there. So you remember that, do you?
I do.
So who you been hanging out with lately? Rock star, New Orleans garbage rock star. Who you been hanging out with? Tell me. Give me some
names.
Sydney. Come on. Who you been hanging out with?
Honestly, tell you the truth, I've been working so much, but Lenny and I are still really good friends. I met him when I was 12 years old, and we've been friends for a long time.
Give me some other names in your circle.
You like Kid Rock. Kid Rock's a good one.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I don't know if I want to divulge anybody else's names. You know, you don't want to name. I don't want to name drop here.
Well, that's what I want you to do, because I may as well, do something. Let me tell you something. It's hard for me to be impartial here, because I'm a fan of yours. I think you're everything that America's about. I think you're an entrepreneur, and I think you also care about the city that you live in. I don't know anything about you personally, but I think you got enough money where you could live wherever you wanted, and you choose to stay here, and you choose to try to make it better. Is anything incorrect there with what I said?
I'm very blessed, and I feel I've worked really hard for where I am today, and I can tell you that I sold my first company, and like I said, I'm blessed, and it is true that I could live in other places, and I choose to live here because I love this city, I love the culture, I love the people, and it's just a great city. I don't like the politics in this type of situation that we're in right now, and that's the thing that just discourages me. Big time. That's why I sold my company the last time. I got tired of dealing with all the politics, and it was just, I just had enough.
And let me tell you one more thing, young man. Don't ever get caught doing anything wrong or do anything wrong, because it's going to be another hero that goes down. So don't do that, all right?
Absolutely not. It's not worth it. Look, like I said, I'm blessed. I've made my money, and I enjoy what I do. I don't need to. I work hard. I get on the trucks. I get behind the trucks. I pick up the trash. I don't need to hire people to pay people to get things. That's just not how I operate. Never operated that way, and I would never operate that way.
All right, let's talk about what's going on in the French Quarter with this garbage contract. Let's talk about the nuts and bolts of it first off, and give me the story. Leave the politics out of it, but just give me the business part of it. We'll talk about the politics when we come back.
As far as what, the French Quarter?
Yeah.
What would you like to know about it?
Well, here's
because it's all littered with politics. So I mean,
you'd be in the operative word. So here's what I'm saying. I guess I want to start with the contractual part of it, because, and then we'll go from what's going to happen. This, to me, just as a layman, seems like, you know, here's a deal where the government finds somebody that's doing the job beyond what could be expected, and everything's great. So why in the world would you screw it up? And that's exactly kind of what's going on here.
Oliver Thomas is pushing Troy Henry. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, he's running for mayor. He's pushing his cousin. He said it. He said he's his cousin. He's pushing him to get this deal. And, you know, it's there's no reason to change this. We have a 1-year deal to December 23rd. There's no reason to change this. This is absolutely insane. The council has said it. They didn't vote on it. When the original bid went in, Troy Henry changed his price $500,000-$600,000 more after the grading was done. It was done. The grading was done, and they awarded it to him. But he changed the price in $400,000-$600,000, and then, you know, came back. The council's like, we don't like this. You can't do that. That's not how it works. And there were some other things too. With he was getting rid of the subcontractor he had that they didn't like, because they were hiring a subcontractor to pick up the garbage from Monroe. So he was basically just. He's basically going to be the middleman. You know, he's hiring all these people. And I heard that he's still going to do that. He's looking to hire people who live that don't even live here, that live, one's from Monroe, one's from St. Tammany. And so, you know, he's just the middleman subbing all this out. And, you know, the thing is that it really isn't even about him. It's just the way they went about it, by sending a letter to me and canceling it for 5 months before the actual contract ends. I just think it's just not the right thing to do. Like you said, when you opened up this interview, if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Is it legal what they did?
Yeah. I mean, look, when I bid on this, I knew that the 90-day cancellation could be put into effect, but never thought in a million years that it would be put into effect, because of the fact that we're doing a great job. And, you know, we have $1.5 million worth of equipment that I bought and put in there and made it to where it looks like today. You can't do that unless you can't clean the French Quarter unless you have the right tools to clean the French Quarter.
Let me talk about that when we come back. I want to talk about the specific process of cleaning the quarter, what it looks like now after you finish, and what it was looking like before you got involved. 7:21 more with Sidney Torres when we come back. I've seen LaToya Cantrell and a lot of politics in New Orleans, but this is just egregious beyond egregious, and the French Quarter is, of course, a cash register. Traffic now, WWL. 7:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Sidney Torres, who owns, tell me the name of the company, IV Waste? I don't know how to pronounce it. I always want to say three. Yeah, I always want to say three. But anyway, and he's had the contract canceled when the city decided to go with Metro to clean the quarter. And as far as I understand it, everybody that is in the quarter is very happy with the job you're doing. Tell me about how it is that you go about cleaning the quarter and what it looks like after it's finished.
Well, first off, you have to have the right people and the right tools, and you have to have the experience. And we have plenty of experience, because after Katrina, you know, we created the Disney-like cleanliness of the French Quarter. And when I sold my company, it went downhill. And the problem is that when you look at where we are today, the company that had it before me was not Metro. Metro was the company that had the other part of the city that I have now. We pick up 95% of the residential waste and the garbage in the city of New Orleans and the recycling. The French Quarter is a very small piece of it, but it's a very important piece, because it's the cash register for the city and the state. I mean, the amount of revenue that it generates tax dollar wise for the city and the state is unbelievable. And so right now it's not over. I mean, you know, I know this, I got the letter and they said that it's going to be canceled, but I can't share too much, but I know that there's things going on where this is not over. So we'll see what happens. But at the end of the day, we're going to continue to give the great service that we've been giving, and we're going to continue to give it our all to whatever happens at the end.
I know Billy Nungesser's a big fan, Lieutenant Governor of yours, as am I, and a job you do in the French Quarter. Is he involved in this city?
You know, he's involved, but this is a city thing here. And again, I think the state is looking at this closely. I think everybody's looking at it closely. I mean, look, I've been seeing emails and emails just people sending me or blind copying me or, you know, friends that know friends that have sent emails into council and to the mayor. And the biggest thing is people say, look, I'm thinking about selling my business. I'm thinking about selling my home. You know, you can't live in a place full of litter and trash and stink. And the problem is like the company that had it before me, they would walk through with a pressure washer, and all they were doing is just going down the sidewalk, just basically walking with a Home Depot-style pressure washer.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure. And you can't do that. Like, you know, you've got to build the right tools. Like the pressure washing machines we run around $100,000 a piece.
I was going to ask you that, Cindy, how, capital expenditure wise, how far are you into this with the stuff you bought to clean a quarter?
Well, if you back out the trucks that we already owned, it's around $1.5 million. If you add the trucks that we own with it, it's about 2.5.
And you're so the only and you are the only guy that has this equipment, correct?
We're the only ones that custom built it. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Because he doesn't have it. I mean, what he's going to do is sub everything out. He's going to be the consultant because that's what he does. His name, you know, he's a consultant. He's going to be the consultant, the middleman, and he's going to sub all this out. And there's a big difference. You don't own it when you don't have it. You know, subbing things out is just not the way to do it. You've got to own it. You've got to be involved. You have to have the right equipment. I mean, I'm out there every day. I'm riding, watching, making sure. Plus, I have great supervisors. I mean, you know, I have supervisors that did this after Katrina. They know what the level of service we expect, and they're out there picking up trash and cleaning the ground as well. So it's important.
You started this by telling me why you think this happened. I'm going to ask you to repeat it. Why do you think this happened?
I think it happened because Troy Henry, who's running for mayor, Oliver Thomas, who's running for mayor, Troy Henry said that's his cousin. He said it on TV that that's his cousin. And I think Oliver's pushing it. Troy's pushing it because he wants it. And I think that's what's going on here. And I think because there's no reason to switch this over right now. And Oliver's running for mayor. The last thing he should be doing is meddling this. I mean, he did the Jazzland, Six Flags. He did the airport, the DDD. It's just, you know, to me, redo the specs, whether you go with IV or not, redo the specs to match the level of equipment, the level of service, and put it out to bid so you get the right person that with the right equipment. I'm not saying that I'm the only one that can do it, but right now people need to learn from what we're doing. Look at our equipment, look at the level of service we're giving, and they need to write the specs to match that. Right now, the current specs do not match what we're doing. And I don't care if Troy Henry says we're going to do it. You can say what you want to say, but to do it, you have to invest the money. You have to have the right people, and you can't sub it out. It just doesn't work. I've seen it. We've seen it. That's why people were complaining before. You've got to own it. You've got to be down on the ground, and you've got to own it.
Somebody texted in, why would I say 3 when IV is 4 in Roman numerals? Because I'm math impaired. That's why. Thank you. Thank you for ignoring that, Sydney. And thank you. Good luck, man. Stay in touch, all right?
Thank you, Tom.
Have a nice Easter. All right, Cindy Torres, we'll take a break. Come back. Help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. Right now, time for WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8, time to help you manage your money with Mark Rosa, President and CEO of Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. If you can safely, go to jeffersonfinancial.org. You'll find some calculators there, almost 100 of them, that'll help you with all kinds of different things. With that, we welcome in Mark Rosa. How you doing, Mark?
Happy Friday, sir. I'm doing well.
Happy Friday to you as well. What are we talking about today?
Tommy, you know, we get news updates all during the day, market news updates, and it's they feel like they never complete without saying, given a quote on where the Dow is or the S&P 500 is. And that's been so routine for so long, and people want to know where the markets are moving. And they know kind of intuitively that, well, that might impact my own holdings or my own stock investments. And if somebody says the Dow is up today, well, that generally puts a smile on people's faces. They believe that their 401 can be up. We also know, however, that if the Dow is up, our personal investments could be down. because the Dow only represents 30 large companies. So it kind of segued over to what's a better barometer of market action, and it would be the S&P 500, because within the name, it represents the movement, the average movement of 500 companies. So if the S&P is up, well, it's a better than average chance that your holdings will be up and your 401k will be up. And I guess that's what gives us some idea of where the markets are moving and where our own investments are moving. What's seldom mentioned is if you have anything on the borrowing side, is there any type of barometer that keeps an eye on rates, where they're going? Because rates, of course, are moving with market conditions, not just when the Fed chooses to move some rates. And actually, the Fed, when they do move rates very specifically, it really only impacts precision the early end of the market. What I mean by that is that they're physically changing short-term rates, and then the market decides where the other rates are being changed or if they move at all, going out to long-term rates. So I wanted to bring that up this morning because I had a couple of people, that members of the credit union, that came in, they wanted to make a mortgage loan. You know, that's not fast like a car loan, in and out. It's, you know, you gather all the paperwork, you do appraisals on the property and all the things that naturally go into loans on houses or real estate. And it's like they got caught in between some movement in rates. And it's like, why did the rates move? Well, we would price off of, like many financial institutions, you price off of Fannie Mae. You can contact them every day from a lender's perspective. And it's like, where have rates moved? And keep in mind that the Fed's not done anything since last year, and rates have moved. So what is the barometer? It's what it is the U.S. Treasury 10-year note rate. And what sounds like a mouthful is really not. It's a rate that the federal government borrows money for a 10-year term. And I tried it this morning. I'm a subscriber to the Wall Street Journal, so I see their graphs and I see a lot of the material that they provide me. I pay for that. But for somebody, you don't have to pay for that. If you Googled in on your phone, I was Googling on my computer, 10-year Treasury note rate, plenty of information comes up absolutely free, 24/7, and you can't get away from it. It's right there for anybody that wants to see it. So the beginning of the year, the 10-year rate started at about 4.6%, and it had a steady decline all the way to the end of March. Now, that's been good news. You and I were talking just a couple of weeks ago about there were 6 weeks in a row where mortgage rates were falling. The 10-year note rate has a lot to do with where mortgage rates are and where they're going. So from that barometer standpoint, if you want to know what the stock market is doing, you're never far away from an S&P 500 quote. Well, it's the same thing with people that are interested in buying or selling a house or refinancing or doing all those things with long-term debt, i.e. mortgages. So why is a 10-year note rate from the government, why is that having an impact on 30-year money that people, just citizens, you and I would borrow? Well, the Mortgage Lenders Association did a lot of research, and they continue to do it. This is a continuing process, that the average mortgage only stays out there for about 12 years. People are moving, they're buying, they're selling, they're refinancing, they're doing something to the mortgage that they hold, and that is the average life of a mortgage. Seldom does somebody make a loan today and hold it the full 30 years and just be squeezing that 360th payment when it goes out to finally pay the house off. So with those modifications, meaning a refinance or something, well, it starts over. That's a new mortgage. The old mortgage is paid off. And again, the average is 12 years. The Treasury doesn't have 12-year money. They borrow money in increments that when you get out to the longer end of what's called the curve, it's 10-year, 20-year, 30-year. So the 10-year Treasury rate is the one that all of Wall Street, financial markets, mortgage markets, they look to where that 10-year is, and mortgage rates tend to move in the similar direction as the 10-year Treasury rate. So right now it's 4.33 as of this morning. If the federal government went to borrow money, they're always borrowing money. That's why we have the deficit that we have. So if they went out to borrow money this morning, at least in theory, they're going to pay 4.33%. Does that mean that we're going to get a 4.3% mortgage? Of course not. There's what's called the spread. The Treasury doesn't have to worry about defaults. They have a printing press. They could always pay their bills. People, not so much. You've got some default in there because something will happen to somebody where their mortgage is going to be interrupted due to default. So what it normally is, Tommy, is a point and a half above that is where the 30-year mortgage should be. Where is it now? Well, it's about 2 points above because of all the news of the tariffs, and that has injected some uncertainty into financial markets. And as far as people going out to borrow money, a couple of people came in, and again, where the year started, it was about 4.6, and the 10-year rate fell just a few weeks ago. It was 4.0. So that's where I remember you and I talking in the spring, in around March, that 30. I looked it up on Bankrate.com that you had some 30-year mortgages that started with the number 5. So if the government was paying 4% for money, a 2% spread would mean we're paying 6%, and then they backed that down. A couple of lenders wanted to have the first mover's advantage because it looked like the economy was improving, meaning inflation was ebbing, and it has been. And the Fed was getting closer to a point in the summer where they're expected to lower rates. So, okay, we got some advance notice. The market started to move with that, brought the rate down to 6%. Some people were loaning in the 5s. And then the tariffs came on April 2nd. So what happened to many borrowers, they were coming in and getting their mortgages done. But right before they were locking in the rates, called Fannie Mae, and it was up by a half a point. That's not all the money in the world, but people notice. It was enough to change their monthly payment because it's big money for a long time. And it was like, what gives? We were just in here a week ago and we were talking about rates. Absolutely. And the 10-year rate flipped up a half a point. It took no time at all. And that repriced all of the mortgage market. So I guess what I'm saying is there is a barometer. There is something that everybody, all our listeners could look at. If you get used to that, you get used to like the S&P 500 and you understand, well, that might be affecting my 401k, largely full of equities. What happens to the stuff when we're trying to borrow money and we want to get, obviously, the financing is as cheaply as possible? It would be that 10-year Treasury note, and it's popped up. It pulled back just a little bit, so I think people were getting an idea that the tariffs weren't going to be around too long. But I was listening to you talk about what Buddy Nungesser was saying. It's creating some short-term risk and uncertainty. And for many reasons, I hope that pulls away quickly, because then the 10-year note rate will resume its decline and mortgage rates will follow right in suit.
Very valuable information. Thank you, Mark.
Pleasure,
Roser,
sir.
President and CEO, Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, 7:54 and a half. Time for traffic now, WWL.